Psalm 143 is our Bible reading this evening, the Psalm 143. And just as you're turning up the portion, tonight we are holding a vote. Our communicants are to vote this evening, but we're going to come to the Scriptures, and I leave some thoughts before you tonight from God's Word, and then we will come to the matter of voting. But the Psalm 143, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse 1. And you can see from the title, it is a Psalm of David. And David is the author of this Psalm, and the Psalm takes the form of a prayer. So this is a prayer of David's. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of this psalm to each of our hearts. As we've indicated, it is a prayer of the psalmist David, and we would entitle it this evening, A Prayer of the Crushed Soul. And David here felt his soul was crushed as he's seeking the Lord in prayer. It's one of those psalms that we don't know when it was written, but we know why it was written. Because David here is in deep distress, and he comes to cry to the Lord in prayer. And while we don't know the circumstances that surround it, Bible commentator Matthew Henry would suggest it refers to the time when David was pursued by Saul. And we know that King Saul came after David, and Matthew Henry would suggest that it was at this particular time that David would have penned this psalm and would have cried to the Lord in prayer. Yet another Bible commentator, John Phillips, in commenting on this psalm, would suggest that it refers to the time when David's son Absalom rebelled against him. Both of those occasions were tremendously difficult times in the life of the psalmist. And the truth is, we cannot be dogmatic as to what particular occasion it was, one way or the other, when David penned the psalm. But the psalm is given to us in the inspired record of the Holy Scriptures to instruct us further in the matter of prayer, and to give us an example of one who trusted in the Lord during a time of great extremity in his life, and showing how he had that hope in the Lord. When there was nothing around to encourage the heart of David, he turned to the Lord, and he had that trust and confidence and hope in the Lord. And therefore David becomes a tremendous example to us this evening. We face our difficulties in life, and some have greater difficulties to deal with than others. But with our perhaps lesser problems, we would come to see David here as a wonderful example of one who flees to the Lord. He flees to the Lord in his time of need, and he proves here the faithfulness of the Lord. That in our times of trouble, we, like David, would call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. That's the promise of the Lord. And David here is doing just that. And for a very brief moment or two, I want us to just examine this psalm together to see the prayer of a crushed soul. And firstly here, we notice the condition of David. We've pointed out already it was a very trying time. But there are certain words that, as I meditated on the psalm this afternoon, there were certain words that just seemed to come out before me. Words that would call our attention to the fact that this was an extremely difficult period in David's life. You look, for example, at verse 3, and you see the word persecuted. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. It's a time of persecution. This word persecution in verse 3, it means to pursue, and it means to chase, and to pursue and to chase in a hostile manner. The way an animal would be hunted down, perhaps that would be an indication to King Saul as he pursued after David, and he certainly persecuted him, and he was hunting him down and chasing him down, hunted like an animal. This is the same word that is used to describe the actions of Pharaoh. Do you remember when the children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt, and they left Egypt that night? And then whenever Pharaoh gathered himself and he realized what had happened, he said, "We'll pursue after them." It's that word. And Pharaoh took his 600 chariots and his army, the armies of the Egyptians, and they went out to chase after God's people, to hunt them down. Of course, we know the Lord intervened in a miraculous way, but just to give you an indication of what that word persecuted means. Persecution. That's what David was suffering here at this particular point in his life. And we know in the days in which we live, we can see the days getting more and more difficult for the child of God. We can see society turning against the things of God, and turning against those who want to stand for God's word and hold to the teaching of Scripture. And we can't expect things to improve. Rather, the Bible would warn us that things will deteriorate. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and the verse 12, he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And so persecution will be suffered. In fact, the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." And so the psalm here, we learn of David's time of persecution, we can see something of his condition, but here in the midst of his persecution, he's turning to the Lord in prayer. Another word would come out to us from verse 3. It's the word smitten. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. When I looked up the word smitten, I found that it means to crush, to crush. And that's where I've really drawn the title for the message. It's the prayer of a crushed soul, the one who is smitten down to the ground, the one who's feeling crushed. It's actually translated elsewhere in the Old Testament, broken in pieces. One who has been so persecuted by the enemy that they're feeling they're crushed and they're broken. Yea, they're broken in pieces. It means to be shattered. You ever use that expression? I'm shattered. Here's where it comes from. You can see something of the description of how David is actually feeling here. The circumstances in which he finds himself. He's broken, and he's bruised, and he's crushed. And humanly speaking, we're not able to recover from such brokenness. But we can turn to the Lord. The hymn writer puts it more eloquently than I can. The hymn says, heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives, are why he died on Calvary. Dear crushed and broken soul, tonight we have the example of the psalmist David, and he turned to the Lord in prayer, and he cried out to the Lord in prayer. He's persecuted, he's smitten. Another word in verse 3, darkness. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground, he hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. A dwelling in darkness, and the connection at the end of the psalm with death itself. And he's speaking there about being smitten down to the ground and even feels as if he's buried into the ground. With those that have been long dead, such as the darkness that he finds himself in. He's saying it's like the darkness of the grave. And he's bruised and he's broken and he's burdened and he feels buried. That's the condition of the psalmist. You can understand it was no light matter. It was a very serious time in his life. There's a further word that would have drawn my attention from verse 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed, overwhelmed. That word overwhelmed, it literally means to be covered over, to be encompassed, to be enveloped, to be completely covered. Have you ever been in a situation and been in circumstances where you feel it just completely consumes you? It just overwhelms you? That's how the psalmist David felt here. Notice he's referring in verse 4 to within. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. You see, the circumstances that were going on outwardly, being persecuted by the enemy, it was having an effect on David inwardly. It was actually moving his heart. How often those outward circumstances do affect us inwardly. He says, I'm overwhelmed within. The word within appears twice in verse 4. He refers to the heart there in the latter part of the verse. My heart within me, that's where he's referring to. My spirit is overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. The word desolate there You can imagine a land that's desolate. It lies waste. And that's how his heart feels at this particular time. It wasn't the only occasion in David's life when he felt overwhelmed. You remember Psalm 61 and the verse 2. And he said, "When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And if the psalmist David, the man after God's own heart, the great character in Scripture, had his times when he felt his back was against the wall and he was completely overwhelmed within, then surely we will have occasions like that when we feel it's just covered us over. And within our hearts we feel that we're overwhelmed. Just one further word to describe the condition of David. Verse 7. "Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth." The word "faileth," that just simply means finished. You can see how there's been a build-up here in the first half of this psalm, and you can see how David is describing his condition and how he feels within, and he's saying in verse 7, "My spirit faileth, I'm finished, can take no more, I've come to the end. I'm right at the end of my tether, I'm at the end of my rope." That's the point that David was at in Psalm 143. And that's the condition of David. But I want you to notice with me as well the supplication of David. Being in the condition that he was in, he turns to the Lord in prayer. And we are using the word supplication because it appears in verse 1. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications." The supplication of David. So as you have noticed the context and the circumstances that he finds himself in, but he's turning to the Lord from such dire straits, he turns to the Lord in prayer and he begins to supplicate the throne of grace. You just think of the words in verse 1. He said, "Hear my prayer. Hear my prayer." And then he says, "Give ear to my supplications." It's almost a repeat, just putting it in different words. But it's not just a multiplying of words to say the same thing. No, you can see the appeal of his heart. "Hear my prayer, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me." It's the cry of a heart that's in desperation. That's the cry of a heart in extremity. That's a cry from the depths. Do you notice how he's appealing to the Lord in his supplications in verse 1? It's on the basis of the Lord's faithfulness and the Lord's righteousness. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness." And so as he comes to pray to the Lord, to supplicate the throne of heavenly grace, he's coming on the basis that God is faithful. And he's crying out to the Lord on the basis of the Lord's righteousness. David knows of himself, he has no merit. Nothing in our hands we can bring. But we come claiming the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness. He's the one who is righteous. And on the grounds of the Lord Jesus Christ and the great work that he has accomplished, we can come and we can come with confidence and we can come with boldness and we can appeal to the Lord and say, "Lord, hear my prayer. Give ear to my supplications, in thy faithfulness, answer me." What a cry it is. You look there down the psalm to the verse 6, he says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. I thought about that expression. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. He's praying to the Lord. He's crying to the Lord. And he's holding out his hands. It's like unto the beggar. The beggar's holding out his hands for alms. He's begging. Like the blind man. The blind man that would hold out his hands looking for guidance. And here's David, and he's holding out his hands before the Lord. It's as if he's begging the Lord to answer. It's as if he's looking to the Lord to guide and to direct him. There's an urgency. Verse 7, he says, hear me speedily, O Lord. There's an urgency here in his prayer. He doesn't want it to seem that his time of prayer would be in vain. And he wants the Lord to come quickly. He wants the Lord to come speedily. And as verse 7 goes on, he appeals again. And he says, hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. David wanted it to be clear. He wanted a testimony. That in the midst of his trouble, he wouldn't be exempt from trouble, but there was a difference in the midst of his trouble. He would cry to the Lord, and the Lord would answer him. And that's what distinguishes God's people from those that go down to the pit. My, in our extremity, we turn to the Lord, and what a blessing it is to be able to pray. What a blessing it is to be able to cry to the Lord out of the very depths when we know of ourselves, humanly speaking, it's impossible and we're overwhelmed by it and we seem to have come to the very end of our tether. We can pray. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. Though that we would see the example of David here as he continues to supplicate the throne of heavenly grace and he's looking to the Lord for that guidance and for that direction. You look at verse 8, he says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. In verse 8, he's wanting to know the Lord's way. The way wherein the Lord would have him to walk. The way that the Lord would want him to go. That's a good prayer for us to pray. To ask the Lord for guidance and direction to know the way. There's times we confess we don't know the way. But that little chorus says, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all we have to do is follow. Makes it sound easy, all we have to do. But you see in verse 10, David said, teach me to do thy will. It's one thing to know the way. It's another thing to do it. And so having prayed to know the way of the Lord, he's now praying that he would do the will of the Lord. The Lord can reveal the way that he wants us to go, but we need the grace to do it. We need the grace to follow. And here's the crushed soul. They're crying out to God and they're supplicating the throne of heavenly grace. The condition of David and the supplication of David, but we see thirdly in this psalm, the expectation of David. Just to take those final two verses, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. And David, all through the psalm, you could trace his confidence and his trust in the Lord, but there was that expectation that was rising to the point where he now says to the Lord, quicken me. He wants the Lord to revive him. He was almost right down there. He was in the depths. He was in the darkness. He felt that he was completely covered over. But he's saying, Lord, quicken me. Revive me. Give to me that new life again. David believed that God was able to deliver him. God was able to lift him up. God was able to revive him. And behind David's prayers and petitions here wasn't just a desire that his circumstances would improve. Wasn't just a desire that he would be lifted out of the trouble and out of the condition that he was in. The motivation behind his prayer was the glory of God. And he says there in verse 11, if you notice that, it's for thy name's sake. It's for the Lord's name. For thy name's sake. It's not for David's sake. It's not for man's sake. It's not for self. It's God's name. It's the glory of God. Verse 11 doesn't only say for thy name's sake, but immediately after it says for thy righteousness' sake. Oh, that the Lord would reveal himself, that his name would be honored. He would be shown as the God of righteousness, the one who is on the side of right. And that the Lord's name would be glorified. David's expectation in seeking the Lord in prayer was for not deliverance. That the Lord would deliver him personally from all of his distressed state. Though that the Lord would deliver the crushed soul. Maybe someone tonight individually and personally, you would say, well, that's my prayer tonight. That the Lord would deliver me and quicken me. Maybe collectively we need it tonight. As a congregation, as a church, as a denomination. We know across our land and nation we desperately need that visitation from the Lord, that the Lord would quicken again and the Lord would revive and that he would do it for his name's sake and he would do it for his righteousness and he would do it to his honor and to his glory. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts this evening.